As Carolyn mentioned, my name is Sonia Joseph Joshi. I'm with Michigan Sea Grant and the NOAA Center of Excellence for Great Lakes and Human Health that is located in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And we've been focusing on developing tools to address and promote safe beaches and drinking water. And just in case anybody was wondering, I do not have any personal financial relationships to disclose. And to give you some background on our center, we're a multidisciplinary research center that's been focusing on developing tools, predictive tools in particular, to reduce human health threats in the Great Lakes, as well as identify the sources and causes of those pollutants. And we work in three main focus areas, which are drinking water quality, beach closures, and harmful algal blooms. And just so I know, do we have any Great Lakes folks here today? Excellent. So for those of you who aren't from the Great Lakes, a lot of times we like to just throw out some fast facts, interesting information about the Great Lakes. For one, we are home to one-fifth of the world's fresh water. We support a $4 billion commercial and sport fishing industry. We have over 1,500 recreational beaches, and a lot of times our state environmental beach program coordinators discover more and more beaches for the local health departments to monitor for. And one thing that makes it really unique for us is that we drink our water, so we are inextricably tied to our Great Lakes because of the fact that 40 million of us drink our water, and also, to be quite honest, it's the same water that ultimately our toilets get flushed into, so there's a lot of issues that keep us tied to our water bodies. And what we've been doing with our center is, as I mentioned, we've been focusing on developing tools to predict human health threats. And we've been doing this so that we can help natural resource and public policy decision making. And in order to develop tools to address human health threats, we have to have very strong relationships with state and local environmental health professionals. And we've been doing that over the past 6 years through a very strong outreach program. So we've been working very closely with organizations such as the Great Lakes Beach Association, which is comprised of all of the beach managers, county health departments, and state beach program coordinators in the Great Lakes. We have an annual conference through the Great Lakes Beach Association where a lot of information related to beach issues is passed on from academic professionals, federal agencies, and what's going on the ground from county health departments. So we've been doing with our center a series of needs assessment workshops with beach managers in the context of looking and understanding what beach health needs are out there, harmful algal blooms issues, and then just a couple of years ago we focused on climate change and we had a climate change needs assessment. So we've gathered a lot of information from local managers and we've been using that information to guide the types of tools and technology that we've been developing. In addition, in the past few years we've been doing follow-up focus group workshops to provide information back to our end users to, you know, show them our tools, get more feedback on if the scale is accurate for them, if the tool is something that would be usable for them. We've done a series of surveys as well as face-to-face interviews with the bottom line to make sure that any of the tools we're developing is something that would make their jobs easier. And so this would be beach managers, drinking water operators, county health departments, and state natural resource and environmental managers. So when it comes to climate change, what we've been hearing from them is that when it comes to tools that are valuable and important for them in their decision-making process, the questions that come up when it comes to climate change are, what are going to be the emerging contaminants and pathogens? When are we going to have to be monitoring our beaches? Is this going to change as a result of climate change? So when we talk about climate change in the oceans, a lot of times there's discussions of sea level rising. In the Great Lakes, a lot of our scenarios, and this is still up for discussion because different models show different things, but our main concern is that our lake levels would actually decrease. And as a result of that, the area of where the beach would be would kind of change. So there's just a lot of questions to, are there going to be changes in overall beach water quality, changes when it comes to posting advisories. And then since we drink the water and harmful algal blooms are becoming more and more of an issue for us, when will harmful algal blooms affect our drinking water, and in relation to if lake levels decrease, will we have to modify where our drinking water intakes are located? So by and large, the information that we've been using, that we've received from our needs assessments, is to look at the influence of meteorology, and in particular extreme weather events, on overall water quality. And we've been doing this, for example, by developing our watershed models and incorporating non-point pollution into how we've been doing our hydrology. So, for example, I know this is kind of an odd picture, but this is just a picture of one of the main watersheds in the western part of Michigan, the Grand River. It's one of the largest tributaries that flows into Lake Michigan. So just kind of imagine that the river is going through here, and then this would be where Lake Michigan is. So we've been incorporating loading information from nitrates and phosphates, and then coupling that with developing watershed simulations that take into consideration precipitation, runoff, soil type, temperatures, snowfall, and then overall just outflows. And then our intention then is to take this information and then couple that with existing coastal forecast models that we have available. So this is something that is available on our website. We have a nowcast that's updated 4 times a day, as well as a 48-hour forecast of water quality conditions, so actually just hydrodynamic conditions. So this allows us to look at winds, surface temperatures, and currents, and where things are moving relative to the tributary of the Grand River into Lake Michigan. Our next step with this information is to couple bacteria information so that we can have a forecast of beach water quality related to E. coli. So this right here, you can't really see them, but these are all like slashes of where beaches are located on Lake Michigan. And if you go to our website, you'll see that this plume, the tributary of the Grand River, is moving consistently relative to the winds and the surface currents. So it's just something that we've been focusing on and a tool that our end users have been telling us that they need. We've also been working pretty heavily on harmful algal blooms. And when it comes to our climate change work related to that, what we've been focusing on is trying to understand the causes and consequences of harmful algal blooms. So the one that is of main concern for us, and the most common one in the Great Lakes, is Microcystis. And Microcystis produces a toxin called microcystin. So we've been looking at what are the influences of some non-native species, zebra mussels and quagga mussels, on the growth of Microcystis, as well as what are some other environmental factors that are contributing to the growth of Microcystis, as well as the toxin production. And then, because what we focus on a lot is developing forecasts, we've been trying to incorporate all of this information into developing models using hydrodynamics as well as toxin production, and then incorporating remote sensing and satellite imagery into that. So one of our main products that we've been working on for the past few years, and that we've been sending out via a bulletin every single week, is this experimental Lake Erie harmful algal bloom forecast bulletin. And so this gives us first a snapshot, kind of a nowcast satellite image, of a bloom that's occurring in western Lake Erie. And then we take that information and move it into a forecasted coastal forecast system model. And then we run a scenario where we can create a 72-hour forecast of where the bloom would be moving. And this has been vital for a lot of our local managers that we've been working with. So this has been going out every single week since the beginning of June, and now we're up to 442 subscribers to the weekly bulletin. And it's not just people that live in Ohio and Michigan, right around Western Lake Erie, that are receiving this bulletin, but we have subscribers from Canada and Wisconsin, even Germany. And by and large, we have a significant number of the municipal drinking water managers in Ohio that are using this bulletin and utilizing this information to help inform when they will be treating their water, because Microcystis is such a significant problem in Western Lake Erie. And then also Ohio EPA, the state agency, they've also been using this tool to help them with determining when they would be posting advisories or when they should be sampling at their beaches for Microcystis. And then this, we've been kind of also taking an understanding perspective of the influence of winds and waves and surface currents on where blooms will be moving. So we did two drifter studies this past summer to have an understanding of where the winds would be moving the blooms. And this was actually pretty significant because of the fact that this past year, I don't know, is there anyone from Ohio here by chance? No? Okay, so this past year, the bloom in Western Lake Erie by far was one of the worst blooms that we've seen in decades. This is just a snapshot of the bloom. The bloom only just dissipated last week, and we were receiving toxin concentrations well above the World Health Organization's recommended guideline, which is 20 parts per billion. We were reading toxin concentrations of 1,200 parts per billion. So this was a major issue that was going on, and not only that, but the actual coverage of the bloom. So the surface area of Lake Erie is 9,000 square miles, and we estimated the bloom to encompass 1,000 square miles. So this was a very significant issue that was affecting a lot of beaches. There's a lot of islands in Lake Erie, so it was affecting a lot of drinking water intakes, and then there's drinking water intakes all along here. So this was definitely a significant issue, and having our weekly forecast bulletin was an immense, invaluable resource for a lot of local managers. So for us, when it comes to our role in all of this, our expertise is being able to look at hydrodynamics and coupling meteorology into tools that we can use to predict human health impacts. And as I mentioned before, we're really focused on developing tools to meet environmental health needs, as well as working with other agencies in the Great Lakes. So we work very closely with our other federal partners, as well as with state agencies and counties as well, because in the Great Lakes, just because our issues are so related, we really try and utilize as much of our networks as possible to address any issue related to the Great Lakes. And with that, I'm done. I can take any questions if we have some time. Thank you.